today we're starting a new sugya. We're starting the sugya of how much money one is supposed to spend on mitzvahs, which is not really a kiddushin sugya, but it sort of comes up parenthetically over here, so I thought it would be kedai. It would be a fun sugya to do. And really this sugya breaks down into four parts, I would say. There's how much money to spend for a mitzvah sasei, and all the rayas and all the exceptions that seem to come up, pop up throughout Shas in random places, like Kiddush and Daf Chavtas. That's our segue, we're going to see. There is how much money to spend on mitzvahs lo sasei. There is the issue of how do you define what is an asei and what is a lo sasei for this halacha. And then there is physical sacrifice for mitzvahs. When you have to spend money on mitzvahs, what about spending anguish, pain, suffering, time, effort? And how much does a person have to physically sacrifice in order to do a mitzvah? So each of those topics are interesting. Maybe we'll try to spend a day or two on the first one and no more than a day on each of the others. So that will be our sugya for this week at least. The Gemara in Kiddushin, where this comes up, is the Gemara in the bottom of Chavtas Amalav, going over to Chavtas Ambeis. On the bottom of Chavtas Amalav, I think we read it, maybe even read it last week, Tanu Rabbanan, Hu Liftos Ubuno Liftos. If he has Pidyon HaBen for himself or for his son, meaning neither one has had a Pidyon yet, Hu Kodem Lubno, he takes precedence over his son. But Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Bno Kodem, Rabbi Yehuda disagrees with Tanu Kama, says the son takes precedence over the father, Shezem Mitzvah Salav, Vizem Mitzvah Pino Alav. Because the father's Pidyon HaBen is the grandfather's responsibility, the son's Pidyon HaBen is the father's responsibility. Amar Rabbi Yirmiya, Rabbi Yirmiya says, well, Hakol Modem Kolechad Vaka Alacham Ishloim, this is the key line. Everyone agrees that if you only have five Shloim, Hu Kodem Lubno, that you should take precedence over your son. My taima, mitzvah de gufei adifa, that if only one of them is going to happen, so then the mitzvah that's really on you, on your own pidyon, should definitely take precedence. The question is really, if you still have five slaim of cash, but you also have five slaim that of properties that you have since sold before your son was born. So review the seven members of Ksuba Torah, Ksuba Shtar Damya, Bani Chamish Parik Lebrei, Vazel Koin Vitar Vlel Chamish Mishbadim Lididei. Rav Yehuda says that since the Milvah Ksuba Torah is Ksuba Shtar Damya, so if you owe the Kohen money, he's allowed to collect, for your own pidyon, he's allowed to collect it from properties that you've sold. Because your own pidyon is like the coin has a shtar from the day you turn 30 days old. It's ki'ilu he has a shtar that he lent you money that day. So he can collect from any field that you've sold since you're 30 days old. So what do? If you have five slime of cash and five slime that you've sold to somebody else, so the five slime of cash take care of your son. And then, because then let the Kohen collect from the Lukuchos the other five slum. You couldn't do it the other way around, because if you were to use the five slum for yourself, then the Kohen would not be able to collect from the Lukuchos for your son, because you sold those properties before your son was born, before that obligation ever existed. But Rabbanan Sarvi Milvatik Subarayasalav Subashtar Dami Avil Kachamitzit Kfeyad. The Rabbanan hold that the Kohen is not going to be able to collect from the Lukuchos anyway. So the only money that's getting to the Kohen is the five slum of cash that you have. So it's just a matter of, will the Kohen get paid for your pidyon or for your son's pidyon? He's not getting both. So then you go with yourself, because mitzvah de gufei adif. So the obvious question that jumps out is, if you only have five sons to your name, are you sure you want to use that for pidyon aben? Meaning you're going to use the last five sons you have to your name for pidyon aben? That seems to break the rules. So in order to understand why this might be an exception to the rule, let's first learn the rule. There is a Gemara in Maseches Ksuvos Daf Nun Amud Aleph. The Gemara tells us, Amar Rabbi Loi, Usha Yiskinu. They made a takana in Usha. Hamevazveis al yevazveis yosir michamish. A person wants to give money to tzedakah, should not give more than 20% of his money to tzedakah. We know that there's a wonderful midas chasidus, machlokes rishonim, whether it's a din daraisa, din drabban, or midas chasidus, we pass on shulchan aruch midas chasidus, to give maisr ksafim, to give 10% of your money, of your income, to tzedakah, and a person should try hard to fulfill that midas chasidus within reason, if he's able to do it. I just saw a story in Rav Zilberstein's monthly pamphlet that he comes out with different shilas and tshuvas and different stories. So he has a story of a certain tzaddik, I forgot the tzaddik's name, who had 3,000 shekels stolen from him, and he was driving him crazy. He couldn't. He was beside himself. He couldn't focus. He was kept on thinking and started doing cheshbonos and writing things, and like his family couldn't understand because this tzaddik was such a tzaddik that like he was never distracted by anything. Rav Zilberstein says that this guy was once sitting and learning, and Ganavim broke into his house and held him up at gunpoint, and he said, "What are you being mafri of my learning? Take whatever you want, but let me sit and learn at least." So, it's a strange story, you know? and they were so freaked out that they left without taking anything. But it's strange. But he said that this fellow, he was so bothered, and the family couldn't say, "Why are you so bothered? What are you so freaked out about? Okay, 3,000 shekels, you don't worry about much bigger things. You're worried about this." So he said that he was doing a cheshbon nefesh. Why would Hashem have him lose his 3,000 shekels? Where was he not honest in dinei mamonos? HaKadosh Baruch Hu was going to take the mamon away from him. Where was the avera? He was doing all these cheshbonos. There was never a single ounce of sheker in anything that he ever did. And then he finally realized that years earlier, when he was struggling a little bit, he didn't pay Meister Ksafim on time. He sort of borrowed from his Meister Ksafim account. The 3,000 shekel was ultimately found and was returned, like 3 months later it was returned, and he was so happy. And they said, like, "Why are you so happy?" He said, "Because when I was doing the cheshbonos, what I could have done wrong, it was years ago I had borrowed from my Meister Ksafim account, but I paid every penny of it back. So I couldn't understand, why would HaKadosh Baruch Hu take away this money? I actually paid it all back. I paid it back 3 months later. So now HaKadosh Baruch Hu had it taken away from me for 3 months and then gave it back to me 3 months later. Pilei plan. Okay. So it's a midas chasidus. A person should try very hard. So that's a person who Taka tried very, very hard to fulfill this midas chasidus of giving Meister Ksafim. But that's the minimum in midas chasidus. What's the maximum? So the Gemara says maximum is 20%. Amvazvez al yivazvez yoser michomish. Tani nami hachi. Amvazvez al yivazvez yoser michomish. But the Gemara adds a little detail. Shema yitzarech lebrios, lest you become needy. That's going to be important. That the reason for this takana is a din derabanan, and they added that the reason for the takana is shema yitzarech lebrios. We always have to ask a question whenever there's a din derabanan with a reason. We have to try to figure out: is the reason part of the takana, or is the reason ancillary to the takana? Is it parenthetical to the takana? I mean, it's definitely the motivation of the takana. But the question is, does the takana still apply when the reason doesn't apply? The Rambam writes in the second paragraph of Hilchos Mamrim that when it comes to most dinim derabanan, batla tam, the takana is still going to apply even if the reason no longer applies. But every once in a while, you come across a takana where even if the reason doesn't apply, I'm sorry, where as soon as the reason doesn't apply, the takana falls by the wayside. So when do we apply which rule? Rav Shachter discusses this in Eretz HaTzvi, where he comes up with the following rule. Whenever the reason was formulated in the Lashon of the Gezerah, in the Lashon of the Takana, that was Chazal's way of telling us that if this reason doesn't apply, then the Takana won't apply anymore either. But if the takana was made stam, even though we know what the reason was, but the formulation, the lashon of the takana, was made stam, then that takana is going to apply even if the reason goes away. Why? Where would we get that idea from, that it depends on the formulation? There is a machlokas in Maseches Sanhedrin, whether we are darshin and taima tekra, or low darshin and taimi dekra. We paskin like Rabbi Yehuda, not like Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon holds darshin and taimi dekra. We paskin are not darshin and taimi dekra. What does that mean? What that means is that if the Torah does not say the reason for a din, even if we know what the reason might be, we think we understand the reason, but the Torah doesn't say the reason for the din, then when the reason doesn't apply, the din still applies. But if the Torah explicitly states the reason for the din, the Torah says it straight out, then the halacha is that if the reason doesn't apply, the din's not going to apply either. When the Torah spells it out, when the Torah actually states the reason. So that's the rule when it comes to dinim d'oraisa, that if the Torah gives the reason, then the reason really matters a lot. And if the Torah doesn't give the reason, even though we might know the reason doesn't matter as much. So called the Tikkun Rabbanon Kendaraisa Tikkun. The Rabbanon always made the Dinim Rabbanon patterned after Dinim Daraisa. So over here also made the Dinim Rabbanon. Even the way they formulated the Dinim Rabbanon are patterned after the way the Torah formulates Dinim Daraisa. That when the Rabbanon formulated Din with the reason, it's their way of telling you that the reason really matters to whether we're going to continue to keep the Din when the Tam falls away. But when they formulate it without the reason, then the Din is going to apply no matter what. So what we're going to have to try to figure this out, is this a Takana, that's all part of the Takana? Or is it Alivaz Yosef Michomesh? Period. Why did they make the takana? What motivated them? Oh, by the way, Shemit Tzarech L'Brios, the reason they did is, and Nafkamina would be, is what if the reason doesn't apply? There's no concern of Shemit Tzarech L'Brios. What do you mean there's no concern of it? How could there ever be that there's no concern Shemit Tzarech L'Brios that you're going to become poor from giving away more than 20% of your money? What would be a case where we're not concerned that you're going to be poor and have to collect tzedakah when you give away more than 20% of your money? Right, let's say you're Bill Gates or any other billionaire for that matter. So probably if a guy is worth $1 billion and he gives away 200 million, he's still not going to have to collect tzedakah. Right? It'll still, I think there's a billionaire's pledge that some billionaires have taken to give away 99% of their money. I think Bill Gates took the pledge, a few others took the pledge. They're not going to yarshin to their children. They'll give their children enough to live on. 1% of Bill Gates' money is enough to live on. But they're not going to, most of their money they're going to give away. So is that permissible? Are you allowed to do that? If his name was, he's not Jewish, right? So if his name was Bill Gatesenstein, right? So would he be allowed to do that? So that's this issue. That's this, right? If he's not going to, you know they're not going to, he's an Ashir Mufla. He's not going to be poor. So Rav Shechter says that for sure an Asher Muflag Zal gives 20%. That's why he told us. He gives 50% of his money to Tzedakah because he's an Asher Muflag. He has way more than he needs. So he gives more than 50% of his money. Probably most of us wouldn't define Asher Muflag in that way. But Asher Muflag, another nafkamina might be, what if the person's dying? Meaning this billionaire's pledge is for when they die. It's not for when they're alive. Meaning they're keeping the money now, but when they die, they pledge that 99% of it is going, you know, they're setting up charitable organizations, that's the way it will go. So if you're dying, you're not going to have to be Tzarech L'Brios at all, as long as you already paid for the kavura and everything else. So what if a person's dying? So, okay, we're going to have to discuss these issues. Then the Gemara tells us, someone once wanted to give more than 20%, and his friend didn't let him. It was Rabbi Shevav, and some say, and Rabbi Shevav was the friend. Some say Rabbi Shevav was the one who wanted to give the money, and Rabbi Kiva was the friend. Omer Rav Nachman v'itei Ravach bar Yaakov, Maikra. Where do we get this din? It's very important. Obviously, if we're going to discuss this, we have to know what's the source. So what do you mean, what's the source? We just said Bu'usha is Gil. They made a takana in Usha. There's no source. It's a din drabban. They were afraid. Shem Yisrael Chubrios. No, there's a source. There's a pasuk. V'kol asher titen li aser asrenulach. Whatever Hashem gives me, I will give Meiser Meiser on. What do you mean, Meiser Meiser? You can give Meiser, you're not going to give Meiser. What do you have to say? I'll give Meiser Meiser. Aser asrenu is 10% plus 10%. So that's 20%. Frankly, Gemara v'alodami yisur basu yisur gamma. No, if you give Meiser twice, that's 19%. That's not 20%. Why is it 19%? Because you start out with $100, you give 10%, that was $10. Now you give 10% what you have left, which is 90, so now that's $9. 10 plus 9 is 19. You've only given 19%, not 20%. Amravashi Aseru Labasar Kikama. No, Aser Aseru means the second Meiser is going to match the first Meiser. That I'll give 10% times 2, rather than give 10% and then 10% of what's left. So good, so that's where we get the idea that you give a chumash. So that Gemara itself is somewhat confusing, because it makes it sound like it's a takana, and then it makes it sound like it's a din daraisa. So there are two ways you can go with that. What are the two ways you can go with that? How do you reconcile that stira, takana, din daraisa? So generally there are two mahalchim you could find throughout Shas when you have this kind of stira. What do you think? What are the mahalchim? Asmachta bi'alma, right? It was pure takana. Pasuk is purely an asmachta. What's the other way you can go? The opposite. That really it's a din daraisa. Sometimes hiskin means darash v'hiskin. that we darsh in the pasuk so that we can educate people about what it says. So hiskin just means that we popularized this din. Very similar to what, you know, like Chaim to Rabbeinu Gershom, we must have mentioned at some point that Rabbeinu Gershom came up with all these chara. You're not allowed to be Megari Shini Shabal Korcha. You're not allowed to read other people's mail. And before Rabbeinu Gershom came along, these things were mutter to do. These are nasty, terrible things to do to people. Why would you be allowed to do these things? No, you're always, it was always Aser, but we popularized the Aser. Sometimes people, there are Isurim on the books that for whatever reason people aren't so into. They don't, so someone comes along. And you know, and gets people into it. For years in America, shotness was not a thing. No one cared. Then someone came along and decided to start a Williamsburg shotness laboratory, and it became a thing. So then people cared about shotness again. For years in Europe, people didn't care about married women covering their hair. Just wasn't a thing. Rashi, yeshivas, wives, chashma people, just for whatever reason, it was off the radar. So people came along, the Achshur Dara, people came along and they put it back on the radar. So it became something that people are concerned about again. So sometimes you have that, and even in Chazal, for whatever reason, it wasn't popular, so they had to popularize. But it doesn't mean it's not a din daraisa, it's still a din daraisa, just one that they popularized. So the question is, are there exceptions to this rule? And there are. So there are potentially six exceptions to the rule. And we'll try to go through at least a few of them. Exception number one to the rule is probably Persume Nisa, but we'll hold off on that one for now. Chodesh Adar, it's an appropriate time to talk about that, but we'll hold off on that one for now. Exception number two to the rule, I'll just list the exceptions first, and then we'll go back and discuss them. And the first one we're really going to discuss is a mitzvah overis. You have a mitzvah that's here today, it won't be here later. So you do it, and it's a one-time mitzvah. Not like a consistent day in and day out mitzvah that you're going to have to do over and over again. So it could be for a mitzvah overis, you're allowed to spend more than 20%. Exception number three is it could be if there's a poor man that presents himself to you, meaning an opportunity comes up right now where the ani is right in front of you. Not talking about looking to give tzedakah as you're looking at your accounts and you're writing checks. No, there's someone there that needs it. That might be an exception to the rule. Exception number four is an ashir muflag, like we mentioned before, someone who's unusually wealthy. Exception number five, we also mentioned, a dying person, where there's no concern. And exception number six might be for the sake of Torah, that a person is going to give more than 20% in order to for the sake of Torah, in order to promote Torah learning. That may be, you know, a lot of times people think prioritizing Torah learning is a lower priority. A lot of times people assume, they assume that it's more important to prioritize people who need food to eat than Torah. It's an amazing thing that we're going to be more machmir, so to speak, with Torah, that you're going to give more than 20% to support Talmud Torah. Tells us about what we think of how important Torah is. That Torah is our oxygen, it's our food. And if a person doesn't have Torah, it's like he doesn't have food to put on his table. It's like he doesn't have oxygen to breathe. We need Torah. It's not a want, it's not a luxury, it's a necessity. It's a luxurious necessity. But it's a necessity that we have Torah to learn. But let's start with the mitzvah of Veres. There is a Tosfos in Maseches Baba Kamma. The Gemara Baba Kamma is an interesting discussion. The Gemara says that Hidur Mitzvah is Ad Shlish. When it comes to doing Hidur Mitzvah, you should do up until one third for Hidur Mitzvah. So the Gemara says, at first assumes that what that must mean, when we say Hidur Mitzvah Ad Shlish, is it must mean that you should spend up until one third of your money for a Hidur Mitzvah, in order to be Mahadur Mitzvah. So if I have exactly $99 to my name, I should spend up until $33 just for Hidur Mitzvah. So the Gemara says, that's crazy. Because then a person does three mitzvahs and he'll have $0 left. That's insane. And even if you're going to say, okay, spend a third of what you have left, but still it seems a little steep. What do you have to spend for the mitzvah itself? 20% of your money, right? So for Hidur Mitzvah, you got to spend 33%? That's nuts. So the Gemara says, no, Hidur Mitzvah ad shlish b'mitzvah. Now, Hidur Mitzvah, you have to spend up until one third of the cost of the mitzvah itself, which is really the halacha, but people don't do this for some reason. Like if you go into a sofer and you say, what's the cheapest pair of kosher tefillin that I can get? He might tell you $300, let's say. I don't know if you can find some kosher that cheap, but let's say. And he tells you $300, barely kosher tefillin, right? So how much should you have to spend on hider? How much should you have to spend for, I don't know, $400? If it's shlish mi levar, discussion of the Gemara over there, $450. There are two ways to cheshbon what a shlish is, mi legav and mi levar. So $450. People don't do that. When you buy tefillin, you spend $1,000. You know, people spend nice tefillin. So, but anyway, that's halacha. Shlish b'mitzvah for hider. Take the bare minimum what it would cost to fulfill the mitzvah. Go one third above that for the hider mitzvah. Says Tosfos Baba Kama, ilema shlish beso, working within the havamina. Now we had this havamina that it's shlish beso, that it's one third of your everything for a mitzvah, for a hider mitzvah. Mashma de'in tzarech levazveis kol mamono l'knot esrog afilu lo yimatzei b'pachos vav yom mitzvah veras vafilu shlish beso mashma lo mechayev v'armin nam yom vazveis yosem v'chomesh. Says Tosos, it sounds like you don't have to spend a third of your money on an esrog. Because the Gemara says, in this context, shlish beso, you do not have to spend. Says Tosos, but an esrog is a mitzvah veris. If you don't get an esrog this year, you will never get that mitzvah back. There's no way you're ever going to be able to. You miss out, you miss the boat, it's over. You're never getting it back. Maybe never getting it back. I'll take an esrog next year. I'll get an esrog next year. Yeah, well, you can do that anyway, hopefully, right? So this year's esrog, you're never getting back. So it's a mitzvah veris. So you might have thought, oh, a mitzvah of veris, maybe I'm allowed to spend more than a fifth of my money. Says Tosos, you don't spend a third of your money. Not only do you not spend a third, you don't spend a fifth of your money. Aye, the Gemara in Sukkah Daf Mem Alfam Beis tells us that Rav Gamliel spent 1,000 zuz on an esrog, and the Gemara says, look, kama mitzvos chavivin alav. How much he loves mitzvos, that he spent 1,000 zuz on an esrog. He didn't have to. That was unnecessary for him to do. Meaning, don't spend exorbitant sums of money, even on a mitzvah of veras. That's what Tosfos seems to be telling us. The Rama in Siman Tav Reish Nun Vav writes, Shulchan Aruch says, Tav Reish Nun Vav, im kana esrog sharoi lotzeis bo betzimtzum, kon shuka beitzum betzimtzemes, v'achar kach matzah gadol menu, mitzvah lo sivat shlush mi legav bidmei arishan. So you have to add a shlish mi legav of the value. So if the first esrog was $300, so you have to spend $400 k'dei lachlifo biyosinaa to switch it for a better esrog. V'yesh mi shomer shemotzi shnei esrogim liknos ve'echad adur mi chavero yikach adur mi yakrim osa yosim shlish mi legav v'dei chavero. And some say, no, what does it mean to spend a third? Not a third more than the bare minimum kosher esrog. A third more than the other esrog you're considering buying. I mean, if there are two esrogim, one of them is nicer than the other, if the nicer one is less than a third more expensive, then buy the nicer one. If the nicer one is more than a third more expensive, then the baseline, and how do you set the baseline? By what's in front of you. Not by what's barely kosher, but by the other option that you have that's in front of you. So if it's less than a third more than the baseline, then you should buy the nicer one. Says the Rama, Umi she'ein lo esrog, o shar mitzvah veres. If someone doesn't have an esrog, or any other mitzvah veres he doesn't have, ein tzarech levazvei zaleh honra. You don't have to spend an exorbitant sum. Kmo shomram, vazizal vazizal semichomesh, afilu mitzvah veres. V'davka mitzvah velos seyitin kol monu kodim shiavon. So is a mitzvah of Eres an exception to this rule? No. Says the Rama, says Tosos, mitzvah of Eres follows this rule, that you would not spend more than 20% on a mitzvah of Eres, just like you would not spend more than 20% on any other mitzvah. Problem is, says the Bir Halacha, there are Gemaras that sound not that way. Namely, our Gemara. Meaning, our Gemara sounds like you have 5 shlemim to your name. That's all you got. You got to spend it. Either your pidyon haben, your son's pidyon haben. Got to spend it on somebody's pidyon haben. Why do you have to do that? It's more than chomesh nechasav, apparently. So one might have said, well, mitzvah veres. Pidina ben. What? Ah, so it's not a mitzvah veres. Maybe one would say. Yeah, you're right. Pidina ben wouldn't work. No, it wouldn't work for Pidina ben. We'd have to say is. No, right. That I'm sorry. Said it backwards. There's a Gemara in Sukkah, Daf Mem Aleph and Beis. Gemara in Sukkah Mem Aleph and Beis talks about how much money Rav Gamliel spent on his Esra. The Gemara tells us that Ma'aseh Rav Gamliel B'Shor B'Lozman Azari Rav Kiva Shoybadim B'Sfina. Rav Gamliel B'Shor B'Lozman Azari Rav Kiva were all on a boat, and they didn't have only Rav Gamliel had a lulav that he bought for 1,000 zuz. So he took the lulav to be Yotze, he gave it to Rabbi Yeshua as a matan. Rabbi Yeshua took it, was Yotze, gave it to Rabbi Elazar ben Azari as a matan. Rabbi Elazar ben Azari was Yotze with it, gave it to Rabbi Akiva as a matana. Rabbi Akiva was Yotze with it and gave it back to Rabbi Gamliel. So Gemara says, oh, why does it mention that he gave it back? To let us know that it was a matan al-manasa achsir. Right, because it's back to that sugya, matan al-manasa achsir. Then the Gemara says, Lomeli lemer shalach abel zuz, why do you have to tell me you bought it for 1,000 zuz? L'diach ha-kama mitzvos chaviv usalei. So let us know how beloved mitzvahs are. So that's what the Achronim ask. Well, wait a second. It's against the halacha. You didn't have to spend 1,000 zuz. 1,000 zuz sounds like an exorbitant sum of money. It sounds like a hon rav. You don't have to spend a hon rav. So one might have tied it. Oh, no. For mitzvah veres you do. For mitzvah veres you do. So that's where our Gemara comes in. It's not a satisfactory answer to say for a mitzvah veres you do. Because we see that even a non-mitzvah veres like Pidyon HaBen, apparently they spent everything. So there must be some other exception that can apply that maybe would work for Rabbi Gamliel's case as well. I mean, you can't bring a raya that for a mitzvah veris to spend more, because look how much Rabbi Gamliel spent on the esrog. Because that, anyway, we're going to have to deal with the question of why we're spending all 5 shlamim on Pidyon HaBen. And if whatever we answer that question with is going to also answer up the case in Sukkah Daf Mem Aleph, then we won't need any, then we won't have any raya about a mitzvah veris. So how are we going to answer up our Gemara? Why it is that all 5 shlamim go to Pidyon HaBen? Well, first of all, how would you answer our Gemara? You see our Gemara, you got 5 shlamim, you got to spend it on something, your opinion or your son's opinion, which one? So that's what I would have said. It doesn't mean you have 5 shlamim. It means you have 5 shlamim with which to spend on a mitzvah. So why doesn't everyone just say that? So pasha, no, means you have 25 shlamim. 5 shlamim to spend on a mitzvah. Who should you do? Are you putting your bed or your son's putting your bed? What's the problem with that? So it could be that if you only have 5 shlamim of money to spend, in typical situations in life, there are more mitzvos than your Pidyon HaBen and your son's Pidyon HaBen that are on your plate at any given time, any given day. Mitzvos all cost money, and there's always mitzvos to do. Like, for example, tzedakah. I don't know, there are mitzvos that are always around. So what does that mean, you have 5 shlamim to spend? If you have 5 shlamim to spend on a mitzvah, you do something else, then you won't have anything to Pidyon HaBen. Plus the lashon. And you look at Rashi, Kalecha, Delesle Nichsi Ella Heislai. He has no possessions, no properties, nothing except for Heislai. Makes it sound like it's all he has. Not just all he has spent, but that's all he has. So if you look at the Bir Alacha in Tafresh and Vav, it's an important Bir Alacha. Berlacha writes that you certainly have to spend 10% of your money for a nice esrog. And he says, you know, we see from Rav Gamliel that you don't that Rav Gamliel is praised for spending this hon rav. Kama chaviv and mitzvah sal Yisrael. It sounds like it was not a din, that it was Midas Chasidus. And we have the Gemara of Baba Kama, like we said, says Biralacha, that you don't have to spend exorbitant sums, you don't have to spend one third, you don't even have to spend one fifth, Tosas writes. One second. Says Biralacha. What was going on in that Gemara Baba Kama? The Gemara said that he did mitzvah shlish. The Gemara says, wait, but then you're not going to have anything left. Meaning the Havamina the Gemara thought was that you have to spend a third of your money for hidden mitzvah. A third of everything you own for hidden mitzvah. Why? Excuse me. Why did the Gemara just reject that by saying that Hamvaz is Alvaz is Yosem Michamash? It can't mean that because Hamvaz is Alvaz is Yosem Michamash. So says the Bir Alacha. Al kolpanim ulai bi yosim zay yesh chiv chamish so shish chadama veinon yuchal limol mitzdaka. We can't learn from tzedaka where the shir is a chamash. Tishamu mitzvah she'eino overes because tzedaka is a mitzvah she'eino overes. And even if there are people there that need money, it's not your job to take care of every ani entirely. Other people can also give him. Where it is your job. You can't say, oh, other people will take an esrog. That doesn't help your mitzvah. She mitzvah veres. V'chal al guf ha'adam. So we cannot prove from esrog how much a person actually has to spend on other mitzvahs. Because the mitzvah of veris is different than the mitzvah shein of veris. V'teida de kamaksha gemara el meyata yisra milei tosa mitzvasa v'lo kamaksha pshita v'amra v'az yosu mechamesh al karach tach v'inyan neinu du mitzvah veris chamar tvei. The reason the Gemara doesn't immediately reject it in Baba Kama and say, no, what are you talking about? Shlish, we need a chomesh. You're never even allowed to spend more than a chomesh. Is because we're working with the assumption that maybe you would have to spend more than chamesh when it's a mitzvah veris. Umad samcha poskim l'neinu mehadam vazveis hirak lashmenu kavosham chashu shemayanu v'yasarich l'brios. He says, the fact that everyone keeps bringing up ham vazveis even by a mitzvah veris. He says, maybe that's just trying to tell us, not that 20% is the number that we use by a mitzvah veris. Says Be'alach. Maybe we use a different number, but it's telling us that the concern of Amavazves applies by mitzvah veris as well. What's the concern of Amavazves? That you can be poor. So that applies by mitzvah veris as well. That's why we mentioned Amavazves. Valkein ein nachon yoser michomesh, kein yesh lachosh me'ininin. Ubedoch kish liyashev divra ben yiruchim, the kavanis the maise bevad dechayv lotzi al mitzvah la kapon logar misham. Okay. The next Biralacha, Dibra Mascha, Filu Mitzvah Veris in Tafresh Nevav, then really gets working on our question. And he says, just want to find the right spot. He says as follows. I'll read it to you from the beginning. The beginning is where he gets interesting. Vine al etzem adin de mevor kan b'shulchan aruch dein tzarech lefazer hon rav al mitzvah. This very din that shulchan aruch says that you don't have to spend an exorbitant sum on a mitzvah. V'noveh zeh misugid b'bekama. That's derived from the sugid b'bekama. El meyata yisrami letzas mitzvahs leisid l'kula beisa. Where the Gemara b'bekama says, well, if you had to give a third of your money, then if you had three mitzvahs, you would have nothing left. And they relate this to the din of tzedakah of amivazes. L'chora tzarech iyun me'asugya de'gedushin daf chav test de'mavur sham gabi pitina ben daf imein lo rak heis loim tzarech liftos atzmo. It's a kasha from our Gemara. Because you only have five slime and you're being poed to yourself. V'chein lein yilalas regel. And also about a lil regel. What's he talking about? The hemshech of our Gemara. Liftos espinov lalas regel. Which one should you do? You can either afford one or the other. That makes it sound like you can only afford that amount of money and you're going to go and be all of the regel. Even though it's more than 20% of your money. Visham mayrisha ein lo nechasim klal zulas elu achamish aslaim. He's addressing your point. He's saying it doesn't mean you have five slayim of expendable income. What it means is you have five slayim total, everything. How does he know that? Because he read Rashi. But according to the Sugi Baba Kama, you don't have to give everything that you own for a mitzvah. You don't even need to give a third of what you own for a mitzvah. Kasha. That's Kasha the Bir Halacha. Further, he says, V'gamay Sin Gamliel L'chor Kasha. The servant of Gamliel is also difficult. Lefisa. D'may Rabusa Shalach Chesok V'Elav Zuz Mishum Chib of Mitzvah. What's the big deal that he brought an Esrok for Elav Zuz? Hello, Av Mishen Lorakei Slaim Uchiv Litin L'Koyin Liftos Atzmo Olal Seregel. If you only had five slaim left to your name, you'd have to give it all. Meaning if every Jew has to be mechabev a mitzvah to the extent that he's got to give everything he's got for that mitzvah, shkoyach Rabbi Gamliel, that you give 1,000 zuz for an esrog. You're rich. You can afford the 1,000 zuz for an esrog. Show me the poor guy who's only got five slaim and he's using it all for Bidin Aben. That's a hero. What are you praising Rabbi Gamliel? Koshkum Rabbi Gamliel, show you Ashir. Rabbi Gamliel's rich. Vishir Zebivada Yarach Chelek Mehona. 1,000 zuz for Rabbi Gamliel? Nothing. Uleman Liyashi Vesugishali Yososros. In order to make it that these sugars should not contradict each other, so he's going to give a couple of suggestions. Hayev Shalachar Alam, Rabbi Maisim Gamliel Darabusai Sisham Shapizra on Rabbi Yoser Al Shavya. He says it's not about how much, what percentage of your personal wealth you've given up. No, that's not what it's about. What's it about? How much should this mitzvah cost? You may have very little money, but if you're paying fair market value for the mitzvah, maybe that you're obligated to do, even if it's all your money. But to overpay for a mitzvah, maybe you're not obligated to do that. Rabbi Gamliel paid 1,000 zuz for an esrog. An esrog should not cost 1,000 zuz. Maybe that's the chiddush of Rabbi Gamliel. They were on a boat. Can't find too many esrogim when you're on a boat. So he managed to find one guy who had an esrog with him on the boat, and he offered him a hon rav. That was just because he loves the mitzvah. Maybe that's what the Gemara Baba Kama was talking about, where the mitzvah that what they are charging for the mitzvah is way more than it's really worth. So the Gemara thought that you have to give ad shlish beso, and the Gemara says no. You only have to give what it costs. What do we do with our Gemara and Kiddushin? That's how much Pidyon HaBen costs. The problem is, it doesn't sound that way from the Gemara Baba Kama. It doesn't sound like when it says that you spend money at Shlish, that it means when you're being gouged on the mitzvah. It sounds like it applies for every mitzvah. So what really is the chilek then? If that answer doesn't fly, so says Bir Lach instead, maybe there's a difference between somebody who has a steady income versus somebody who just has five slim to his name today and he doesn't know what he's going to have tomorrow. Meaning, if I make five slim a day, let's say that's how much money I make, so I'm planning on using that five slime for dinner for tonight. What if I don't use it for dinner? So I won't eat dinner. Will I die? Nah, they lose a pound or two, probably won't die. Tomorrow I'll make another five slime. I have a job, pays me five slime every day. Tomorrow I'll eat dinner. Maybe that's where we're going to say you have to pay even your last five slime. You have a steady job, so you're going to be making, you're not going to be tzarich lebrios. No, you have a job, you'll be making money. When do we say don't give more than 20% of your money? It means of your savings. it's not being replenished with a steady job. Maybe that's the difference. So that's the second suggestion the Bir Halacha has. Maybe we'll take a look at what else he has to say tomorrow also. Look at Dibra Maskelin, Tafreshun Vav, Dibra Maskelin, Mitzvah Veris. Fascinating Bir Halacha. And we'll try to go through some of the other potential exceptions tomorrow as well to this rule of not giving more than 20% of your money for a mitzvah.